What's going on, guys? I had to restart this video because I'm using a new software here and it wasn't doing what I wanted to. Let me mute this thing so I don't hear myself talk. Oh, I got to share this all out. So bear with me, guys. I got to share this out and try to get some comments. I'm using a new software and hopefully it streams a little bit better and I could see some of those chats a little bit better like I was trying to yesterday. And it doesn't look like it's gonna do what I want it to again. But I got some comments already. So Lindsay said hello. Hello, Lindsay. If you can, guys, share this around. Let's get some people. So I'm gonna talk a little bit about what I talked about yesterday. And then just because I didn't feel like it was the best video I wanted to make, I'm going to talk about my site, which is down there, freightbrokerlive.com, and what I want it to be versus what it is now, and podcast, and then just do the same usual Q&A stuff that I do every single day. And yeah, so with that said, you know, we talked, actually, take that back. There's a video that was just made by someone, and I've been watching a couple of the things that he's been posting, and he's essentially been posting, I guess he's a dispatcher, but he's targeting shippers in his posts, which, hey, more power to you if that's what you want to do, but I want everyone to understand, man, it's not letting me put this out the way I want to share it, which is really annoying. At any rate, so like I was saying, I'm trying to share this video. If you guys too that are watching, if you could go ahead and share it, I want to make sure that it gets as many people to view it as possible because I think there's going to be a lot of information. At any rate, so there's a guy on here. He's I was going to say something about his shirt, but I can't really do it because mine's kind of stretched out at the collar today. But he makes these videos about dispatching and rates, and a lot of it's sometimes good, but he's been posting out recently about you know, how he's working for shippers and figuring out the better rates. So of course I do my due diligence just because I'm curious about it, especially because he's posting on my group. So, you know, to see if he's got a brokerage authority, and I can't find one. So I'm not going to put him too much on blast. What I do want to say to everybody is if you guys are looking to, if you're a dispatcher and you're looking to bring up, shippers and stuff, you can't unless you have a broker authority or something like that. And you just can't do it. And if you are doing it, then you're just making it bad for all the people that want to be, all the people that shit on dispatchers. If you're doing shit that you're not supposed to as a dispatcher, then it's just crap. So like I said, there's a couple of people watching it. Thank you, Lindsay, for sharing. I'm going to keep trying. I'm looking down because I'm going to keep trying to share this and try to get as many different groups as I can to see it. But for some reason, it's just not working the way I want. So I wanted to address a little bit yesterday. We talked about truck order not used and detention and things like that. It wasn't the best video I ever made. You know, of course, the software that I was using at that time, I've switched to a different streaming software, but the software I was using yesterday wasn't working how I wanted it to. And all in all, I wasn't really happy with the stream. So I want to see if I can get this. I'm just going to share to a couple more groups and then I'm just going to give up on this for now. Like I said, I just want to get some viewership on it. So I'm going to share to my group and then I'm going to share to one more group. And so I'm going to try, I'm basically for the guys that watched yesterday, I'm going to talk about the same shit over, just cause I didn't like the video. I watched it back and I replayed it and I didn't really, you know, we had technical difficulty trying to get, Paul on and it wasn't working properly. So right now, you know, I'm just going to start and then we'll go from there. So truck order not used, standard pay is $150. What I pay truck order not used, I pay $250. If it's a full load if they really went out of the way. $150 if, you know, it's a partial. Any partial I ever do is $150. It's on my Raycon. I always do $150 for a truck owner not used, because that's just what I've always paid. So I'm not going to pay more than that. Man, it's not even letting me get all these groups. So annoying. But let me see. I'm just going to try. $250 for truck order not used for pretty much any full truck, any dry van, anything like that. That's I always try to keep it at $250. Now, layovers and layovers are a little bit different. That's, for me, it's $250. Now, I understand there's carriers in this group, because this is, I posted it out all over the place. To the carriers that are in this group, $250, I recognize that it's not enough money. But unfortunately, that's a lot of the times that's all we can get from our customer. Or me as a broker, that's pretty much all I can get from my customer most of the time. Is that enough for you to sit and park your truck? Probably not. Absolutely not. I used to have trucks too, so I know that. But you got to understand there, you know, it's hard, you know, I can't even talk today. I will go back and say, and apologize to everyone. I am dealing with a stomach bug, a really bad one today. So I'm trying to rehydrate, and I'm drinking water and all that crap, which is, you know, it's made me hyper. So I'm hyper. We booked, you know, it started off pretty slow with freight from, you know, when I started working at 7 to about 9:30. I booked one load, but it was one of my one-off shippers. So I actually made I made $225 in commission off of it, which is all right. Carrier still happy. Carrier's, you know, 600 miles, I think, and I paid $15.50. And I'm billing $17.75. So I'm happy with that. Carrier is happy with it. He was going that way anyway. It wasn't a full truckload. It was a partial. But I think he had a 35-foot hot shot, so he's going to run it as a full truck, even though he still had a little bit of room on it. So, you know, I kind of started off going, I don't really feel like I want to work that hard, because, you know, I already made a little bit of money. Plus my stomach, like I said, it kept me up last night. I wasn't feeling too good. And then, you know, my customer got in, sent a bunch of loads over at 10 o'clock. We booked four of them, and then I booked another one off shipment for a different customer. So, you know, by 2 o'clock, I was, you know, tired. I ate again, because I eat a lot, because I'm a weightlifter. So I eat, you know, 6 to 8 meals a day, typically. A lot of them are snacks or shakes, but they still count as a meal because of calories, but whatever. So needless to say, I'm hyper for whatever reason. When I get sick, I'm either hyper or I'm dead as a dog. So I kind of feel not too great. But I booked some freight, had a little bit of time, which is why I decided to make this video. Hopefully the stream is good. This is a new software that I'm trying. It has the chat features just like everything else. I just wanted to make sure that the chat, so when it does fill up like it had been in the previous ones, that it was actually going to continue working instead of freezing and having me stare at my phone and all that stuff. So with that said, I'm going to dive right back in. So I'm going to do a quick thing yesterday about accessorial charges. And I swear, it's every single time I make these videos, it rains. Every single time I make a video, it starts downpouring. It was sunny. You could hear the guys still mowing the lawn of the neighbors. At any rate, so I'm going to start off with, and again, I'm a broker. For anyone who has never seen my videos before, I'm a broker. I make videos and talk about, you know, my day-to-day. I'm going to talk a little bit about DAT later on. Now, I have a different version than what some people have. I have the DAT Power Express, like broker side. But I'm going to show it and just show you a little bit on how to use it. So if you're a broker, you could, you know, contact me. I think it's 15 days for DAT Edge. And then if you're an owner op and you want something, depends what page you're on. I'm going to be very selective. That's why I don't put the links up, because a lot of the guys that have these groups are actually, you know, have their own agreements with DAT, and I'm not going to ruin it because I want my video to get shared out. I'm probably the only anti-freight broker training person out there. So at any rate, we talked a little bit about detention and truck order not used yesterday. Like I said, I wasn't super happy with the video, so I decided to quickly talk about it again, and then I'll move on to the next thing. So I already covered layover, and I cover truck order, not you. So now I'm just going to quickly speak about detention. Now, and again, this is, I'm a broker, so I have a broker's perspective on it. It's not the same perspective that you are going to have as a carrier, but nonetheless, it still holds value. So with detention, there's some of the bigger guys will charge detention starting at or pay out detention starting at $40 or $50. I tend to try to pay 50. Sometimes I can only pay 40. It depends. I, as a broker, I do not add anything on to detention because that's just, it's fucked. You know, I'm not the one sitting there waiting, so I'm not going to charge, you know, I'm not going to say, oh, I can only, my customer's only paying 30 and then make 10 bucks an hour for the truck sitting there. That's not something I do. Now, that's for standard loads. Like if I do convention center loads and shit where the driver's going to have to wait, then I try to incentivize it and I do it from when I was driving a truck. When I drove a truck and I would go into the Javits Center and sit for 15 hours waiting for them to let me know that my one pallet was ready, I'd charge 75 bucks an hour to sit there. And I'd get it and it would be a contracted rate before I even get there. And I'd be super happy with it and I would make money. And the broker was, you know, probably billing 100 bucks in detention. And I didn't care because if I was getting my 75 bucks, it's fine. Right now, when we pay detention for any of my loads, it's all over my Raycon. As long as, you know, with my big customer, you have to call 2 hours in advance before you get there. So if they could prove that they called in advance, they get there at 10 o'clock, customer knows they're going to be there at 10 o'clock. I don't do any of that, even though it's a window. I start the detention clock after, you know, 2 hours. Once they're there, if they spend 2 hours and 5 minutes, they're going to get a full hour's worth of detention. And I don't care if my customer doesn't pay. I will eat that cost just because, again, I drove a truck. I understand what it's like, and it sucks to sit in your truck doing nothing. It's a little bit better with technology. You know, I used to go a lot when I drove to the Walmart DCs in Woodland, Pennsylvania, and what was it, Greenville or something, New Hampshire. Those two DCs suck. And so you'd get there and you'd have a 10 o'clock appointment. You get there at 9:30. And I was running a CD or non-CDL straight truck a couple of the times. And I went and I'd have to sit and I could either sit in the truck and wait, or I'd have to go inside and sit in the lobby if they wouldn't allow me to be in the truck. Most of the times I've tried to just convince them to allow me to sit in the truck because then I nap. Otherwise you can't nap in the little ass chairs they have in those waiting rooms. And it sucks, but I'd use my phone and kill data or just listen to Sirius. You know, I'm a big talk radio guy. When I drive, I don't really listen to music unless I'm tired. I listen to like Sirius talk radio, Jason Ellis, you know, those things. I'm now, as an adult not driving, I listen to the Road Dog radio a lot and Fox News. Go Fox News. And a lot of people, you know, listen to whatever, but I went off on a tangent again. So detention. Detention starts from the moment that you get there. It doesn't mean you get paid for the first 2 hours. It means that your clock starts when you first get there. Now, what I did as a driver and what I did as a dispatcher when I was dispatching other trucks is the second that driver got there or I got there, I would call. And I'd call the broker and say, hey, I'm on site. This is your detention notification. They'd be like, wow, it's pretty premature to let me know about detention. And what I would say, it's simply, you're not going to pay me if I don't pre-call. So that's why I'm telling you right now that trucks got there 5 minutes ago. I'm going to call you again in an hour and let you know if you still loaded. And I would. I'd call in another hour if the truck was still there. If the truck left, I've already called and let them know I'm you know, loaded or offloaded or whatever. But if I'm still sitting there waiting to be loaded, I call again and I say, hey, I'm still waiting to be loaded. This is, you know, 1 hour till detention starts clicking. And oftentimes I'd follow up with emails or something, especially if I got close. And then usually an hour and a half in, I'll call again and say, hey, I'm still sitting here for detention. I'm going to shoot you an email. Please reply back that you're okaying detention. If I didn't get that email, I would be an ass, especially if I had the load. Like if it was a pickup, I would call and say, hey, listen, you know, you got to give me that. You know, I'm on my way to delivery. I need a new Raycon showing that I have an hour and a half of detention. A lot of brokers will say, yeah, just have them write it on the bill of lading and send me the bill of lading when you deliver the load. That's not a good enough, you know, solution for me. So typically what I do is I'd have it, the shipper mark it on the bill of lading. I send it in. It still requires that I have a Raycon, an updated Raycon, because that at least allows me to prove that I, you know, that there's some correspondence there, that they knew there was detention. And then typically if I get a new Raycon, I know I'm going to get paid for it. I did have a guy that paid me for 3 hours detention. So I sat there for 5 hours waiting to get loaded. He gave me an extra 120 bucks. And then I missed my delivery appointment by 10 minutes. So I was waiting in line, but they stamp, you know, when you stamp, when you go through the guard booth, they ended up stamping me in at 10:10. And so he docked me $120 for a late appointment. Nothing I could do because he did say that there was going to be penalties if you're late. But brokers will do that. You know, where I try to be a pretty fair broker. Not everyone could say that. I try to be pretty fair. So I, you know, my industry or what I try to pay is $50 unless it's the, you know, a partial one of, you know, my many partial clients. And then I just keep it right at 40 because I know I'm going to eat $5 anyway because they only pay 35. So I might as well just, you know, try to keep it low. Now, in terms of being a carrier, does that compensate, especially if you're sitting up north? I don't know what it actually costs to run the truck for idling it for an hour. That'd be an interesting thing. You know, if you're sitting in Greenville, North or Greenville, New Hampshire, whatever that town is, I can't remember what it is. If someone remembers that Walmart distribution center in New Hampshire, I think it's Green something. But if you're sitting up there and it's, you know, 10 degrees outside, you're idling your truck, you're going to use fuel, you know, and get tired. And that was my biggest thing is I would never be prepared. I wouldn't have anything to drink or anything like that. And I'd be stuck in the truck waiting for them to offload. I got away with doing a lot of things because I used to keep pallet jacks on my trailers. And so I just, Greenland, New Hampshire. Okay. See, I knew it was up there. You know, it doesn't compensate when you figure we lost the revenue, we get paid by the mile. True. That's another thing to think about too, because you're sitting. So if you're one of those guys, if you're an owner op, then it's a little bit different because you can kind of build it into your load. If you're a per mile guy or a company driver, then yeah, it's different because you're not half the time company drivers aren't even getting paid to sit there. Especially if you're by the mile or you get like $20 and, you know, I know Melton, I talked to a couple of drivers from Melton years and years ago, and that's what they did. They were paid like $20 an hour to sit and wait, and they're all like, oh, that's, you know, great. We're just not doing anything. And then you realize that the company's billing 40 or 50 or 60. Those bigger companies have a lot more play with rates and stuff like that. But, yeah, the Walmart distribution centers suck. So I covered detention as best as I could. My biggest thing in order for you guys to get detention and make sure you're paid detention is keep the broker or shipper, if you're dealing with direct shippers, you know, I can always guarantee I'm going to pay detention if the carrier that's doing a load for me is calling all the time and saying, hey, here I am, I'm on my way. You know, that's the biggest thing. I saw someone today talk about MacroPoint. I've MacroPointed one load in my 15 years as a broker. We have a system right now where I could kick it out to every load. I could require it. I don't care. As long as I know when it picks up, I know when it's delivered, and they tell me if there's any delays. You know, I on my Raycons now, I have something that says, like, if you don't deliver when you're supposed to deliver, that fees may be applied. And I didn't have it for the longest time because I didn't think it was necessary. But then with these partials, people are taking a long time to deliver them, which causes a problem with my customer because they like to track everything like crazy. But you're an owner. Brian says here. Now, I think I can show these. Let me see. Look at that. See, that works too. This new software, I like it. Brian says he's an owner op, multiple truck owner, but in this market, as low as these rates are, it's hard to build anything in. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's, you know, I notify by, and then he said, I guess for detention, I notify by email as soon as we arrive and have proof of time on location. That's exactly it. You know, and that's all you can do is just notify the carrier or the broker or the shipper rather that you're on site and just wait. You know, I always try to get confirmation of detention. Like I said previously, I always try to get confirmation that they're going to pay me as a driver, that they're going to pay the detention. And it's the same thing. When I had owner ops that were running under our authority, I wouldn't, if they didn't let me know that they were there, I'm like, I can't get you detention. It's the same shit now. If I got a guy, I had a guy called me this morning at 9:30. He's delivering that. I think I told you guys about it in that video, or if you're listening to the podcast last week, I had a little pallet jack like that went in the back of a straight truck and they're bringing it up to Brooklyn. So he didn't make delivery Friday. So he was delivering this morning. And he got there at 8, and I said, hey, did you call? He called me, and he's at 9:30 and said, hey, I've been here an hour and a half, and I haven't heard him, and I can't see him. Nobody's here, and he, you know, he's delivering into Brooklyn. And I'm like, you need to did you call them? He's like, I haven't called. I don't have a number. And I said, well, you know where you got the address from, right? He's like, yeah, the confirmation. I said, right below where the address is, that's where the phone number is. You know, or have your driver call at 8 o'clock and say, hey, I don't have a number. But, you know, he ended up calling and couldn't get the guy on the phone. So it didn't really matter anyway. So I tried to call. I couldn't get him on the phone. And this is the difference between a regular broker and someone like me. So I know the driver's sitting there. I know he's in Brooklyn. I know he wants to get out and go, or he's got other pickups. He's running the straight truck, so he's probably making a bunch of pickups a day. I couldn't get the customer on the phone, send an email, no reply. So I went onto the guy's website, and I'm talking to one of the, like, the, you know how they have the little chat boxes that'll show up on the bottom screen? I'm chatting with them, and I'm like, hey, listen, I am handling the shipment of a forklift. The guy's sitting in your loading dock. Can someone go out and offload him? And that's how we got him offloaded, because the guy wasn't answering his phone. But, and then he calls me and says, hey, I need detention for an hour. I said, I can't pay you any detention because you didn't give me enough notice. Because he called me an hour and a half in, and then he was offloaded before 2 hours. He was trying to get detention for the first hour anyway. Or what he tried to say is the first half an hour was free and everything else I had to pay him. I'm thinking that he's like Estes or YRC or something. And, you know, in theory, I would have paid him, except I couldn't because I didn't have any money. I'm a volume broker, so I don't make shit for profit. I make it off volume. That's why I covered, you know, 6 or 7 loads this morning. And when I end this video, I'll cover 3 or 4 more. I keep getting emails in. That's just the way I do business, you know. So I don't, and I'm not going to be able to eat it on a customer that's only shipping once or twice a month. Had he called me in advance, he would have got my $50 profit for sitting there. He didn't call me until an hour and a half after. That's the biggest thing, is call your broker, let him, or your shipper. If you're an owner op and you have your direct accounts and you're still having problems getting paid for detention and stuff, that's what you have to do, is call and notify them that you're sitting there. I think this is what this was mostly about, was the tracking and stuff. Brian said he's an owner op, multiple truck owner, but in this market, as low as the rates are, it's hard to build anything in. I mean, I don't really know. TJ, I'll explain volume broker in a second. I don't really know what you mean. The rates suck. Okay. Everyone knows the rates suck right now. They're getting better, but they're still shitty. As someone who actually stares at rates all day long, I do it more than anybody else. Because I'm an independent agent, so I control my book of business. I don't work for a big broker. I'm not one of those big, you know, mega brokerages or anything like that. I'm independent. I control all my business. I don't have any trucks anymore. But I stare at the rates all the time. So I know from dispatching and from running my trucks, the rates were great last year. We made money, you know, up until about February. That's when they started going way down, and they went down pretty quickly, and they continue to stay low. I think the rates are coming back up. A lot of people say, oh no, it's still low. It's still low. It's still low. If you guys go to my site, which I can put it up again right here, I had a blog that I actually wrote a long time ago, and I kind of finished it yesterday and put it on my website. And I talked about, you know, cost to operate and stuff, and all you owner operators already know this. But the guys that are just getting started, go to this site, look up, I think it's under, if you click on news and then go to opinion or something, that's where I'm keeping the non-news articles. But yeah, you can go there and just see, it'll give you a really rough estimate. For guys like Brian that are running multiple trucks and have been doing it a long time, you're going to be like, ah, this is like beginner shit, and which it is, but it doesn't break it down so crazy. But rates are coming up. Everyone that's still doing it has to just realize that they're going to come up. I mean, we're getting towards the season anyway, when rates are going to come up. I'm a firm believer of that. You know, TJ said volume broker, I guess with a question mark, like he doesn't know what that means. So I'm a volume broker, meaning that I don't charge, you know, a lot of, and you guys may say, well, he's full of shit, whatever. I take a load. I put a minimal profit on it. And usually inflate the carrier rate a little bit. So if that's showing me two, I'll try to pay 220, and I'm billing my customer like 230 a mile. Whereas another broker would shortchange a carrier and charge the customer a lot more. So what I've found in years and years of doing this is that if I pay the carrier a little bit more, they're more apt to actually pull the load for me versus going to other broker who's getting paid 20 bucks more or whatever. And if I bill the customer a little bit less, meaning I make a little bit less money because I'm paying the carrier more and billing the customer less, I end up getting a bunch of happy carriers and a bunch of happy customers. And a happy customer means they give me a lot more freight. And so I coined the term volume broker, because the more freight I have, the more money I'm going to make. Could I make as much money covering less freight if I charged more? Absolutely. I could probably make more money. But the thing is, I have a system that works really well. You know, I've got Jess answering the phones for when carriers, that we have an overflow of incoming calls because I cover so many loads. but I'm a hands-on micromanagement guy. So I actually book every single load myself. I talk to every single driver myself. I fill out all the rate type in all that shit on the computer myself. That's just the way I do it. And the reason I do it that way is because I micromanage, but I get a lot of customers, not a lot of customers. I work with a very small group of customers, but I get a lot of business. You know, I'm not one of those guys that's going to cover two loads by 10 o'clock and be like, hey, I'm fucking done for the day. I just made $300 commission. I'm good. That's not the way I work. I want to work from 10 o'clock and say, okay, I made $500 yesterday. I'm going to make $600 in commission today. And the benefit about being, owning my agency is I can make as much money as I want. It's untapped. When I was with Landstar and all that shit, I had a full-time job. I was a firefighter. So what did I do? I built up a network of sub-agents, still got the major accounts, and then I micromanaged them from, when I wasn't on a call or something like that. And I had 30 sub-agents running all over the country handling the freight business. And it was a good thing, but it was I worked so much more then than I do now. Now I'm just content making money and working and making these videos and testing out new software and all that stuff. But TJ, that's what a volume broker is, that's my definition of a volume broker. Don Fuller, it kind of covers me. It's like Kilroy was here thing. But Don said, those minutes that tick away on your clock while you senselessly wait for the ignorance, for their ignorance are precious minutes in the climate which the unstoppable clock and should be compensated for a few dollars doesn't help your next customer that waiting for you to pick up their freight. Everyone has trucks, so customer service and your good reputation are paramount. Just my opinion. No, you're right. And you're right. And the thing about it is I have pre-ELD driving experience and not even that much. But the thing is, when I drove a truck, I drove without ELD. I ran paper logs. I had the actual paper log I used that day. I had the one that I used when I ran out of clock that was shoved in the backpack. And then typically I had a throwaway paper log with loose, and I always use loose leaves. And I did that because for that reason, if I sat somewhere for 5 hours and it took me 4 hours to drive there, I'm essentially out of time. And half the time I was in like a day cab or a straight truck. And what am I going to do? So I tear it away and say, I got there. And, luckily, if you're in a day cab or something, then, I've only been asked for receipts once and I had them. But I've gotten two logbook violations in my life. I got one for manner and form when I was down in Oklahoma, because I like the day before I carried over, I was tired. So I put like 10.25 hours of driving or some shit. And so they ticked me, but they didn't put me out of service. And then when I was driving to Connecticut, normally, cause I was in Northern Jersey, so I didn't keep logs. Because I was running relatively close, it was 100 miles, except there was traffic and I had to go around and I ended up, and I probably should have had a log anyway, but I went through Danbury, Connecticut, and that scale that's right there on, the fuck is it, 90? Right after you come in through New York, they got me and they put me right out of service. He asked for the logs and all that crap. And I was like, it's not even filled out. The last log page I filled out was from like 3 days before that. So they put me out of service and I had to have some guy come and get me. But that's before I had that's before ELDs. I in all honesty, I owned a couple of trucks, since the ELD thing, and they were the keep trucking thing, and I did what I had to do to make sure those trucks would keep going. I had a policy, especially with the hot shots that I ran. We wouldn't take up a parking spot in a truck area. That's just me and my experience. So if I was like parked in a spot and I had my trailer and the truck's driving around because the place is full, and if I see him loop twice, I'm going to wait till he gets out there and I'm going to pull out and give him my spot, because I'll go sleep in a Walmart or something like that. I don't need to take a trucking parking spot with a little hot shot and 30-foot trailer. That's my opinion. And when I had drivers that worked for me, that was their opinion too, because they worked for me and I told them to do it. So they would pull out, or they would go pull, where a big truck can't get in, they would pull. But the problem with that is if you have ELD, if you don't remember to click that you're not personal conveyance or whatever the shit is, it automatically starts ticking. So we actually lost quite a few days that way by the guys trying to be nice and moving the truck, but not realizing that the settings were wrong, and luckily that was keep trucking. So I would just delete the whole user and create a whole new one. You didn't hear me say that, but my trucking company's gone anyway. What the hell does it matter? But yeah, that's a big thing, because you can't cheat the log. Well, you may be able to, I don't know, but you can't cheat the logs like you used to be able to. You can't say, you know, when you're at a place for 3 hours that you were only there for two, you know, it does. And so you do, Don, you're 100% right. Your clock is ticking away while you're sitting. And that's why it's imperative to get that detention pay if you're sitting there, and just make sure you do your phone calls and your check-ins and all that shit, as much as everyone hates it. You know, people always complain about the brokers calling and the check-in. Well, that's because you aren't calling them. Simple as that. Yeah, you can't check. Brian says most trucks are still on board as you can. December goes fully yield. Gotcha. Mine weren't. So I wish, but yeah, mine weren't. Because, you know, we'd have to delete the user and put a new user on there, and it would still be a disaster. If they got pulled over, they're going to be like, well, how do you magically appear in North Carolina when you're from Florida? You know, whatever. But so that's one thing. Now, there's other people charged, and this won't really apply. Well, I guess it could apply to flatbeds and hot shots and all that shit, like hourly rates. You know, people will say, oh, you know, a driver assists with an hourly rate. Me, when I had my own trucks, my hourly rate was what I made running that truck. So if my break even point was $1.84, including driver pay per mile, and I'd run 60 or 70 miles an hour, that's what I was going to charge to help anybody do anything. And I would always get paid it, because you simply say, you know, if they're like, oh, can you help, you know, can you take this shit off or whatever? You say, yeah, sure. Yeah, I'm going to call the broker real quick. And you call the broker and say, hey, listen, this guy wants me to help him offload two skids by hand. I'm going to charge you $300. Two things happen. One, they send you an email saying, sure, go ahead and do it for $300, and then you're good. Or two, they call and say, I'm going to call my customer. The customer yells at the lazy ass guy, and then you offload your own truck, or they offload your truck for you. Again, it's different. You know, I talked the other day when I had a guy that went and assisted himself. You know, we had 12 carts that were going on the back of a stray truck. Each cart weighed like 200 pounds. It's on wheels, not heavy at all. Imagine like a laundry cart. That's kind of what they look like, except they're all metal instead of cloth. But he starts to jam these suckers in his truck because he was in a rush and he needed to go. My dog's going to start barking in a minute because of thunder. But yeah, so they, he calls me, or his dispatch calls me and said, hey, the driver had to load the truck. We want $100. Please send it over. I call him back and I say, listen, that's not the way it works. You have to call and get approval before you do anything like that. So I call the customer and I say, hey, listen, this guy said he had to help load the truck and blah, blah, blah. So, you know, he wants $100. Customer said, no, he pushed two carts on. I got it on camera. I'm not paying shit. So I call the guy back and I'm like, listen, he wasn't asked to do it. He said he only moved two carts. Then the driver called me, and the driver was literally begging me on the phone. And not in a way that made me feel sorry for him, in a way that just made me feel like, what the fuck is this guy trying to do? And so he didn't get paid for it. But when I would have my trucks, or my straight trucks, or the day cabs that I had running out, if we had to help, always we'd get approval first. Sorry, the dog's getting ready to bark. Always get approval first, and we'd always get it, you know, either approved or we didn't help. Simple as that. And yeah. So Don said, new software, major improvement, by the way, good stuff. Yeah, well, it's going up with the chat, so I can actually tell and interact with people without having to stare down at my phone the whole time. Brian said, most trucks are still on board. Yeah, we already said that, or I already addressed that. Don said, accessorial charges are where it's at. They really are, because you can sometimes, you know, especially if you're running local shit, you can make more or almost what the lane haul is with it. I was never one. My drivers all would have to offload trucks. So, you know, they were company guys, so, you know, they had to do what I said anyway. They would always offload trucks. If we got to a place and the customer said, hey, it's going to be 2.5 hours before we get there, or like the C&S grocers. Granted, when I ran my trucks, the LTL and consolidation and shit that I did, I was up in New Jersey, New York. So I ran, you know, New Hampshire down to like Maryland. Woodland, PA was like the furthest west we went. So we ran a really tight area. And then we had, you know, contractors that would run cross country. So we did a lot of distribution shit, liftgate stuff. So my experience isn't, you know, necessarily with when I had hot shots, I didn't have them for very long. It wasn't a fun business venture for me. So I didn't want to keep up with it. But again, you know, it's to each their own. You know, I had the hot shots. I just didn't make as much money. I wasn't driving, so I didn't make as much money with it as I wanted to. It's like the guy that wants to own trucks and then it just doesn't work out. That was me. So I went off on a tangent there. So again, I'm going to quick commercial break from my website, freightbrokerlive.com. So if I could put it up on the screen, I would, but I forgot to set it up, so I'm not going to bother. But if you go to freightbrokerlive.com, you're going to see news articles. You're going to see all the blogs. You're going to see these videos that are up there somewhere. You're going to see a bunch more content. I want to add, like, you know how everybody tries to sell factoring and all that shit. So, and because you get referrals, you'll see I got a DAT link up there. I get paid from DAT for people that sign up for a free trial. So if you guys sign up for a DAT trial, 90 days after that, when you're a customer for 2 months, they give me like $3. So, and pretty much every ad that's on there is going to be people that are directly corresponding to me. But what I'm also thinking about doing is for the new guys that are out there or people that are looking to switch that have to use factoring. Now, a lot of people hate factoring and I get it. There's some people that have to use it. I'm working on making a comparison chart for pretty much every factoring company that I could find. And I'm going to set it up so hopefully I get referral fees from each one of them if you click on the link. But I'm going to try to give just all the information that everyone wants for factoring companies, for ELDs, all that shit, all on there. And it'll be under a resources tab. That tab isn't even built because I'm still building the site, as you can see. But I got all sorts of other content. The goal is, and this is my long-term goal. Here's my secret. What I would like to do is make these videos and do speaking things and do all that and have it be my job so I could get out of brokering. I am a freight broker and I make a shit ton of money doing it. And well, I make a lot of money, maybe not a shit ton. I actually don't like being a broker. I like doing sales and talking and communicating with people and that kind of shit, but I don't like brokering freight. It's tedious. It's a lot of data entry. It's not really my thing. Now, I could hire people to do it and split up the profits a little bit, but I don't want to. What I like doing is making these videos and talking about random ass shit and writing articles about stuff. That's why I'm doing it. All right. So anyway, so we were talking about accessorials and stuff like that. So we covered detention, we covered truck order not used, we covered layover. What other tarping charges? Now, Paul in one of his videos, I don't know if he's watching this, but Paul in one of his videos says he builds in his tarping charges in every single load. Good. That's what you should do. So give you a lane rate of $2 a mile. You know your target's $225. Build $100 for tarping or if whatever. I mean, that's kind of self-explanatory. A lot of people don't do it. A lot of people just say, oh, I'm not going to tarp, you know, and tarping is hard work. I understand it. I'm a big guy and I don't mind tarping, but in the rain or in 40 below weather, yeah, I'm probably going to mind it a little bit. Always get whatever it costs you. If you're doing anything other than driving, you should be paid. If you're sitting waiting to be loaded, you should be paid. If you pull up to a CNS grocer and you got to pay a lumper fee of $70 and they tell you, all right, it's going to be 8 hours because we got to sort and segregate this shit. And you say, hey, I'll just do it so I can get out of here quick. You write down what it took. Like if you had to take it from 6 pallets to put it onto 15 pallets, anyone who's actually gone to CNS knows exactly what I'm talking about. We got to sort it by SKU and all that crap. If you do it yourself, get paid for it. Make yourself a damn receipt, you know? And that's what I always say about everything. And that's what we would do. If there's any chance for us to make money, we would always make money when we had trucks. Redelivery fees. Now that's something, if you go to make it, I mean, it doesn't really apply to over the road guys that much, because you're either going to have a layover. If you go to deliver and they can't receive you, you're going to have a layover or you're going to have detention. You're not, you know, the guys that are running the day cabs and shit, if you got to bring something back, get paid for it. What's some of the others? Like a change of address or any of that, I would always charge a flat fee plus a mileage fee. So if they say, you know, you get to one point and they're like, hey, no, we need you to go 35 miles down the road. I charge them whatever the per mile rate is I'm getting for the line haul and then $200 or whatever. And you have full control over it. Carriers have done it to me all the time. You have, and I've done it to people all the time. You have that right and that responsibility. That freight's on your goddamn truck. So if they call and say, hey, you need to bring this 20 miles down the road and you're already sitting at delivery, you already got your next load booked. That's that, you know, if you got to bring it 20 miles down the road, you're going to lose an hour worth of driving, starting and stopping all that, plus your ELD time. And then plus whatever time it takes them to offload, always trying to maximize your profitability. Now, a lot of brokers and shippers are going to get pissed at me saying that, but it's the truth. maximize your profitability by charging them for whenever you need to be charged, you know, towing and shit like that. You can't, yeah. I don't think you'll ever be able to get that towed. I had a guy that, you know, ended up breaking down on the Pennsylvania highway. Ow, fuck. Sorry, I had to stretch my leg. Broke down on the Pennsylvania highway in the middle of a blizzard. He had his truck towed and he had one of our trailers on him. So we were brokering a trailer and he was a power only guy. He had his truck towed with our trailer off of the highway because he realized he was having truck issues driving 70 miles an hour, 50 or whatever down the road. And instead of him going, oh, let me just pull off and go into the breakdown lane, he stayed in his lane. So granted it was snow and all that stuff. Maybe he was worried about pulling over, but he literally stayed in the lane of traffic and it's a Pennsylvania turnpike. So when the state troopers rolled up, they said, hey, have you called anybody? You got to get the truck out. And he's like, I'm calling people. They ended up calling someone and having them towed from there. So we had to call the tow yard once we got it and have the trailer released, send in a different carrier to go pick up the trailer. And then the carrier went to pick up his truck thinking we bailed out his truck too. And we didn't, you know, he wasn't an owner. He was an independent guy that was running his own load. We still paid him for the load. That's one thing that I made sure the customer knew that we had to do because we paid a recovery. He wasn't very far away. So when we paid the tow bill for the yard, which we billed our customer, and then we paid for the redelivery, that's what we ended up having to, you know, to pay. We still paid the driver. It's not his fault. His truck, you know, something, the turbo or some shit went in his truck. So, and that's the one thing I made sure that my customer knew is that we were paying that customer. Needless to say, or that carrier, we don't work with that customer anymore because then we had a truck flip and they got all stupid. Because these were containers. They had fluid in them. Driver didn't have a tanker endorsement, so he didn't know how to pull a tanker trailer, even though, you know, customer tried to say you didn't need a tanker, long story. But anyway, he ended up going on an on-ramp, flipping the damn thing over, and then they tried to say it was our fault for not requiring a tanker endorsement when it wasn't our load. They gave it to a different broker and confused. But at any rate, Jonathan, DJ Jonathan, BPM Master. No. Sorry. Yeah, not today. And usually when I have anything out of Jersey, it's the partials that nobody really likes. It depends where you go. But no, most of the shit I have is I get one off like equipment moves. Like I'm moving a tractor from Michigan to, where is it? Virginia. And then I'm moving one Wednesday from Michigan to Indianapolis or Indiana. And then I'm moving another one from Nebraska to Michigan. So if anyone has trucks that are going in that rate, the Nebraska to Michigan is available now. It's a partial load. It's like a truck. So I think I'm only billing like $1,500. So, and again, that's the guy that I made the video yesterday or Monday or Saturday where he was saying something like, yeah, I know. He said it took you longer to read the name to answer. It did, because I was trying to figure out how to say it properly. But at any rate. But yeah, these tractors are a pain in the ass. And then I moved another one. I forgot about this. So actually today was a pretty good day. I booked, you know, $600 or $700 worth of commission, you know, on 5 or 6 different truckloads. But again, a couple of them were one-off shippers, so I charged them a little bit more than the volume guy, because the volume guy I only booked 3 loads for. Typically I book, you know, quite a bit more, but I just haven't had the time. And like I said, I'm not really feeling it today. So I didn't feel like working too much. So anyone else have any questions? We got some people chatting. We got some people watching. What other questions do you guys have about brokers, about dispatchers, about, you know, starting your own trucking company? All the guys that want to start your own brokerage, I've hammered that down. I'll keep doing it. Here's my 3 guidelines. I wish I had a graphic for this. 1, don't pay anybody. 2, don't pay anybody to learn the industry. Your best learning resources, you have 2 options to do it. 1, watch my videos, watch other YouTube videos. And then if there's like free seminars and shit where they're going to get you to sign up for a bunch of shit later, but you can go for free. Don't sign up with them for anything else because it's not required. the second best thing you can do is go work for a different company. If you're going to be a broker, or a dispatcher for that matter, go work for someone. If you're going to be a dispatcher and you have no experience in the logistics industry, go work at McDonald's or something else, because you're going to be the furtherance of how to fuck up the industry. No, and I don't mean that to offend you. Yes, you can make money dispatching. Yes, but there's too many people out there dispatching trucks that don't know how to make any money. so don't, or that don't know how to make money for the truck that they're dispatching, and they're ruining the reputation for the actual one or two, three good dispatchers that are out there. And then the third thing is go work for a company as a broker or as a driver. You know, there's a lot of people that are going out there trying to start their own trucking companies, have never pulled anything bigger than a little landscaping trailer. You don't know how to drive a truck. You're the reason why people are getting killed all the time on the highway. You know, go to a CDL school that does more than 164 hours of teaching, you know, ride with people, learn how to actually drive the truck. It's the same thing as being a broker. I can't just wake up one day and to say, hey, I'm going to be a broker and go and do it and make money right away. Driving a CDL, you go to school for a couple of days and you learn how to drive, and then boom, you get hired by some idiot that has a company and doesn't vet his carriers. I think that just actually happened, didn't it? Where a guy, he didn't vet his drivers properly, and the guy ended up killing four people or something like that. People have to know the industry. and know, if you're a driver, you have to know how to drive. You have to read signs. People will get pissed, and I don't mean it wrong. You have to be able to read signs and speak in English to be a truck driver. And that's what I think. You know, we're not, if you're in Canada, imagine a guy from Alabama that speaks, trying to deliver in Montreal or something where they don't speak in, you know, well, they speak English up there too, but they, you know, it's French. It's a pain in the ass. I used to go up to the bars and shit when I was 18 up there trying to get order a beer. They all pretended they didn't speak English because then they would make me the wrong change back. It's the same thing. You have to learn how to speak and read English if you're going to drive a truck. That's just my opinion. And I don't mean it to be biased or anything like that. It's just my opinion. And same thing goes for dispatching. I've had dispatchers call me that are dispatching. Like I had a dispatcher call me. I couldn't even pronounce his name, barely could understand. And then when he finally gave me the MC number, he gave me the MC number of a good old boy from down south. Call the guy to make sure that this guy's actually booking a load. He's like, yeah, he's my dispatcher. I'm like, oh, okay. I'm like, how do you talk to him? He's like an email. I don't understand a word he says, but he's able to find me loads. Good. You know, but you got to be able to speak English. In this industry, you work here. If you're driving a truck in Ukraine, you got to speak Ukrainian. My guess, I don't know. I haven't been over there driving a truck, so I don't know. But my guess is you would need to speak the language of the country. I think that's very important. And again, I know that's insensitive, and some liberal people are going to be like, oh my gosh, oh, he's so mean. It's true. You have to be able to speak the language of the road that you know, you got to be able to see if there's a sign that says, you know, 8% grade, you should know what that means before you're even in a truck. And that's an opinion, but whatever. And it's the same thing. If you're brokering freight, you should know how to find freight and how to do it before you actually go out and do it. There's a bunch of people. All right. So I don't know this guy, Transparency Logistics. I'm going to say one thing just because he advertises so much. I asked him a pointed question. He didn't respond. This guy says he's a dispatcher. Fine. He says his trucks average between $7,000 to $10,000 a week. As a dispatcher, I know it's possible. It's not for an average though, but I know it's possible. Your trucks can make that much money and they can do it consecutively. But this guy is always advertising that he needs more trucks and always saying his lowest truck makes $7,000 a week. What I have to say to that, he's full of shit for one, because he's advertising all the time, you know, and whatever. If you're a dispatcher and you like the guys that are advertising on Facebook constantly and you keep seeing their dispatching signs and dispatching ads and shit online, don't sign up with them because they're shitty ass dispatchers. That's why they keep going online. I talked to a girl today that was with Metalark, if you're watching, because I told you about my site. She had her shit together. She said she dispatches 18 trucks. She's an agent. And she dispatches her trucks and she's happy. She makes her money. She dispatches company trucks. So it's one thing. And that's another thing, guys, anyone that's looking to become a freight agent, you don't need to just become a freight broker. You could go and become a capacity agent and stuff. If you have a knack for talking to drivers and recruiting them, you could go and become a capacity agent where you find freight for someone. You're using the load boards and all the same shit you would as a broker, except you don't have to deal with customers. That is a new thing. I didn't even realize it to that extent that they had agents that solely did that. I thought they were like joint brokerage carrier agents, but they're not. But all right, so let me get to some of these questions. I think I answered you, Jonathan, about that. So we go here. Lack of education in the industry. It absolutely is. That to me is one of the biggest pitfalls of working in logistics right now, is you have so many pop-up like seminars or boot camps, I love that term, And guys, again, I will say it again. Someone write this in chat. I used to own dispatching training programs and freight broker training programs and all this. And I did it and I trained a lot of people. And the reason I got out of it is, well, two, same reason for dispatching. One, there's not enough profit in it for me to be a dispatcher and feel comfortable about my job. Because I'm not going to go charge someone 5% if they're barely making any money. Which is why I got out of dispatching. And secondly, you can't train. I could train people, but if they weren't, what am I trying to say here? I just felt bad. I felt bad training people to become a broker and then having them be ill-prepared even after the training. And I'm pretty fucking, excuse my language, I'm pretty good at what I do. I can train people to, you know, do anything. I can train you to sell a napkin to a paper factory or whatever. I'm good at it. I know what I'm doing. I know the industry. I know how to train people properly. But there's so many different people. You know, there's another one that's a $99 freight broker course. I put a message on there too and said, listen, I see, because a simple Google search, that's how I get all my customers, by Google. I search them, I, you know, find out all the information. You know, I did a simple Google search on the phone number of this freight broker school and then found out they are part of a freight dispatching company and have no ties to being a broker that I could find out. I said, hey, listen, does your ownership, do the people that instruct, and it's a self-paced program online, to know. So these people that are teaching you how to be brokers, half the time have been either no experience as brokers or have been brokers for a couple of months and then got out of the business because it was too hard and they sucked at it. So then they became teachers to teach you how to do something that they sucked at. Doesn't make any sense. Now, there are a couple of good programs out there, and I'm not going to rep them because I don't really care. They still teach the broker shit, so I don't really like it. On my groups, they don't allow any of that broker school shit. Larry, you're really good at tagging anything. So anything you think on my pages, my trucker load board and flatbed freight load board, anything that you don't think is a good fit for that page, go ahead and report it, because you report a lot. But go ahead and report it, and I'll keep doing it, and I'll keep deleting it. But yeah, lack of education in the industry is true. And the problem with it is freight brokers can't go to a college and learn how to broker freight. They just don't teach it. You know, this is one of the only industries. I went back to college to become to learn logistics. And this is after working in logistics for a long time. And guess what I learned? Fucking nothing. I left because I was just wasting my money. You know, I owe like 50 grand in student loans because I went back to learn logistics after I already knew it. You know, I'm sitting there arguing with some guy about decentralized warehousing and centralized warehousing versus regional warehousing, and he doesn't know what he's talking about. He's working off shit from the 90s, and we're not in the 90s anymore. So that's it. And they don't teach you how to broker shit. I went through several transportation logistics, like management classes. They don't even talk about being a broker at all. There's no conversation. They talk about I can't say that word. You guys know what I'm saying. But they don't talk about being a broker, and they don't teach you how to broker. They don't say, hey, you're going to have to call 500 carriers and get them to take a cheap load. They don't tell you about how to forecast rates and all that stuff. You can go into micro and macroeconomics and try to get in and try, and you can kind of figure out rates and stuff. But I don't know. It's sad because, you know, there is no program. So everyone is stuck searching online to how to open a freight brokerage and all that stuff. But, all right, what do we got here? New entrants here, everything. You know, a lot do. That's the biggest misconception. And part of the issue is when someone gets on these groups and says, hey, I want information. Shit, guys, that's really loud. My bad. Let's ignore this. All right, did that hang up? Nope. I hope you guys aren't hearing that. You probably are. I forgot to turn my work phone off. Hold on one second, guys. And then let me put me as unavailable, because if you guys heard that, I apologize, because that was probably really, really loud in your ears. And then put on do not disturb. At any rate, so what the hell was I saying? Yeah, that's the biggest thing. On the group forums and all that stuff, people are not nice. I guess that's the easiest way. You know, people only write about the good loads they have and the oversize, and sometimes you write about the bad ones. But when you got the guys that have no experience that are thinking about getting in the industry, the same way you did when you got in the industry, And then you give them sarcastic comments and you don't actually help them do anything. You just say, oh, it's, you know, a lot of people are looking for the, you know, they're looking at how to do it and whether or not it's something they should do. And that's the same reason that I'm making these videos, is to try to help people learn the industry, you know, and that's this was my customer that sent me a text, and I blocked the phone. But yeah, that's something that's very important. Okay, give me a minute. And so I have a load picking up. So I'm going to keep talking while working. See, I can do that shit. But yeah, that's a big thing. Jonathan said, is the broker license difficult to get? Nope. And I'll tell you how easy it is to get here as I'm doing this. So a broker license is super easy, because you just go over to the FMCSA website and you pay them $300 and you fill out a couple of pieces of paper. And then you go to a bonding company and you say, hey, listen, I would like to become a broker. And they say, okay, how's your credit? And you say, hey, my credit sucks. And you know what they do? They say, okay, here, pay us $4,000. We'll give you a bond, and boom, you're a broker. That's how you do it. It's about the same as getting a carrier authority, except, and they both cost about the same now, because carrier authorities, you got to pay a big down payment. And it's, you know, it also has something to do with the credit and all that stuff. Where is this fucking load? Excuse my language, guys. Like I said, I'm super hyper today, which is why I'm talking. But yeah, becoming a freight broker is not very hard. The hardest part about being a broker is keeping business. And if you are not an agent, it's pretty difficult to, what's this guy's name? It's pretty difficult to, get clients. If you don't know what you're doing and you're not a salesperson, getting clients is the hardest part, for most people. For me, it's kind of natural, because I like to talk, and it was relatively easy for me to do. But a lot of people have troubles, and that's one of the things I want to make videos for. But when I started making these sales videos and things like that, I realized very quickly that I don't actually like talking about how to do it, talking about how to do talking about how to do, see, that's how quickly I just sent a bill of lading from my software, very quick. But yeah, I don't really like talking about how to do sales, because I found that I don't really have a procedure. I just do it, you know, I just go and get customers. I talk to them, and I talk to them like I'm talking to all you guys. I don't watch my language. I talk to them like they're human, because that's the best way to get a customer. It's the same way I talk to my drivers and my customers, or my carriers that I work with. I talk to them just like normal, you know, and I do just what I just did. I'm making a video right now. I could have told him to wait an hour. Driver's sitting there waiting to get loaded. He needs a bill of lading. I'm going to send that bill of lading right away. Customer knows enough that if I ignore his phone calls, he knows I'm either making a video or I'm busy and I really can't answer the phone, because I almost always answer my phone. So he sent me a text message and said, hey, I need that bill of lading. The driver's here waiting. So I send it, and I could do it, and I can multitask. And that's the thing about booking freight, because all you guys that are out there looking to become brokers and going after those big accounts, the ones that are going to make you a bunch of money and you're going to buy Bentleys and all that shit, or the guys that are looking to become owner operators and, you know, starting off with a cheap truck and they're going to buy a nice truck later on. That's the thing, is you have to look small. Like for me as a broker, I have one volume guy that I book a lot of freight for. Everyone else is 3 or 4 or 5 or 6, maybe 10 shipments a month at max. Because it doesn't require a lot of time. You know, I have the one big account, which, you know, it doesn't require a lot anymore, because everything's all, it's done, it's formatted. But it's the same, you know, in terms of sales and going out and getting sales, is you just have to be yourself and present yourself, you got to make yourself presentable. And that's as a company. People look, every carrier that I look up, I qualify through carrier 411. If you're calling on sales, you got to have a website, simple shit like that. Have a website, you know, make sure you delete the little thing at the bottom that says proudly created by Wix. You know, it doesn't matter if you did it yourself, it doesn't need to be perfect, but give yourself the presentation that you're a company. You know, when you're hiring drivers, make sure you're doing it right. If you don't know how to properly hire a driver and you try to ask on Facebook and you don't get an answer, go somewhere else, find a different resource. There's other people that can help you. Or if you're looking at, you know, make sure you talk with your insurance. That's the other thing I can give advice I can give to you. Cause we had three trucks and we scaled up to 10 really quickly. And then the insurance company's like, hey, guess what? And so we had to drop those drivers because the rates were, you know, the different than what the agent said and all that stuff. So, all right. But back to what we were talking about. I think you mean insensitive, but that's fine. And then Larry says, those who can't do teach. Yeah, in terms of being a broker, absolutely. In terms of being a broker, I don't know about CDL school. I taught myself how to drive a truck. You know, my dad drove a truck. He drove construction equipment out west. And then he ended up, driving a truck and starting his own trucking company for a while. I taught myself how to drive. I started with, you know, and I mean everything. Cars, motorcycles, lawnmowers, tractors, boats, you know, quads, everything. I taught myself everything. Trucks, you know, the only thing that I had a hard time with backing up was learning how to back up. And luckily I owned the company. I owned the truck. I owned the trailer. So I backed that sucker up several times and I hit the wall of my dock and I hit pillars and all this shit, but I taught myself how to back up in a really hard spot. Now, does that mean that I could go right now and pull into a regular straight shot place? Probably not, because I learned to back up in a really hard spot, and I don't drive a truck enough to actually know how to do it. But I think a lot of people, I learned logistics myself. You know, like I said, I tried to go to school for it after the fact and learned nothing. But I already knew, you know, at that time I was already a VP of a publicly, you know, huge company at that point. So I already knew the industry. I just thought it would help me further my career, and then. Those that are looking to take a freight broker class, go to the TIA website that I talked about in the other video, tia.net.org or something. That's the only thing. I don't get anything. It's the only freight broker class I think anyone should do. People that are brokers that are looking to advance your career, go take the certification class from them, because they are the only transportation broker certification class that's real. Any of you owner operators or fleet guys or anyone else that's watching this video now or later, you guys know what the TIA is, because everyone, you already do. So anyway, Jonathan said, if I'm a lease out for a company, but I also have my own authority, could I pull freight off of the load boards with any lease? What? Well, it depends. If you're pulling freight off of the load boards for the truck that you're leasing, I don't know. It all depends on the situation. I mean, I pay for the truck insurance after I fuel. No, you can't pull everything. If you're leased on to somebody else, you would have to be leased on to them. Meaning every bit of every load that you do is funneled through them. Anything you do otherwise is subjecting yourself to huge, huge financial and legal repercussions. So no, you have to be able to, everything you do has to run through the company that you're leased onto. If you're leased on. Now, could you, yeah, and I don't know, some of the older guys may be able to, again, I'm 35, you know, my time behind the wheel is different. You know, I work on the fleet side versus the little independent guys. There used to be something called trip leasing where people would have like magnets in the truck and they would slap them on and run under a different authority. I think with IFTA and ELD and all that complicates it quite a bit more. So I don't know. Maybe that's someone could comment down later on after the video is over and, you know, run off that. But yeah, you can't, because if you try to broker under one authority and then you're giving it to the carrier authority, then you're double brokering freight or co-brokering if you have a brokerage authority. And that's the thing. I'll address it real quick and then I'm going to end the video. So co-brokering and double brokering, people have asked me this question a bunch. Co-brokering is when one broker is given a load by another broker and then he brokers it to a carrier. That is 100% legal. The only way that is not legal, So that's 100% legal. The only way it's not legal, if the broker represents that he's a carrier and he's going to put the load on his truck, which at that point becomes double brokering. So co-brokering is legal and it's utilized every day by all over the place. Double brokering is when the carrier calls a broker and brokers a load and books a load and says, yeah, it's going to go on my truck. And then they give it to a different carrier, taking the margin. That is double brokering and that is illegal. I don't know if it's even enforceable, but it's illegal. Another thing, the Landstar bandwagon, everyone always says. Landstar in order for a broker to work with Landstar, and I know this because I was an agent for Landstar, in order for a broker to be a customer, meaning Landstar takes a load from that broker, they are signing what's a co-broker agreement. Now, what the problem is, they're not double brokering anything, they're co-brokering, but a lot of times they're not telling the customer, the broker that they're getting the work from, that they're double brokering the load. When I was a Landstar agent, I would say if it was an outside truck, I'd tell them right away it's an outside truck. They would not care and they would give me the load. If I can 100% say when a customer or a broker said, hey, is this a Landstar truck? We're going to check. And if I send in a different truck, they'd be pissed off. They would also call it the double brokering ship, but it's not technically because we had a co-broker agreement with them, which means that we could broker out their shit. But wow, my voice just went high. But not a lot of those companies have them. And that's a big miscommunication or a big confusion between co-brokering and double brokering. It's all shady, if you ask me. But that's my thing. Larry said owner op or lease too. Well, he said two different companies and he said for a company. So he means leased on to a company. And if you're leased on to a company, that means you're running under that authority. Now, a lot of the companies you lease on to allow you to, you know, use load boards and all that shit, which is fine. But the problem with that is if you're doing it and then putting it on a different truck that's not the company that you're on, one, you're going to get dropped by the company you're leased to because you're stealing from them. That's flat out what you're doing is stealing. Or secondly, if you book a load off of the load board under company A and then you take it with your company B truck. Plus, I'm also confusing because I'm going to highlight this thing. If you're also leased to that company, when they do an insurance check on your truck, they're going to see that a different insurance company already has you on there and they're going to catch you. And that's the thing. A lot, it's called the cab search or whatever it is. You know, that they can tell any truck that's had you leased to them or any company that has you leased because you're currently under their insurance policy. You only pay for the truck insurance, IFTA, and fuel with your own trucking company. Yeah, like if you're leased to somebody else, you may pay the cost of insurance, but you're going to pay it to the carrier because the carrier is the one that's giving you the discount on the insurance. Any carrier who says lease to us, run under our numbers, but carry your own liability policy, that's going to be hairy. And maybe one of the insurance guys that watches these videos can comment on that because it's not legit. You know, the insurance card has to say the company you're leased to. I think DOT will fuck you over too or mess up. Jesus, I'm swearing. I apologize for the swears, ladies and gentlemen. Anybody else have anything else to talk about? Questions, comments? I've been on for an hour. Tired of talking. I got to skip the gym today because I got the stomach issue. So I could talk a little bit more if people have questions. But other than that, I'm going to end the video because I'm tired of talking. No? But so I think we covered detention. We covered layover. We covered accessorials. We covered truck order not used. I think we pretty much covered all the basic, you know, accessorial fees. Now you have overweight permits and oversized permits and all that crap. And those are for a different day. They're not for now. All right. Well, this has been fun. I'm glad my new video works better. Now I'm going to watch it back and actually make sure that the software works well. Just for all you guys that don't know, like my page, which is, do I have it made? I don't know. Have I ever lost my ass on a load? Like once a month I do. I think last week I talked about losing $500 on a load. And it was a load I lost $250 as it stood. Because the customer, I ended up getting them to pay $250 for a truck order not used, but we kept the driver there for 10 hours. So I ended up paying him $250 more. So he got paid $500. He would have lost a lot of money. But yeah, Molly, yes, I lose my ass on a load all the time. But I only do it if I know that I've made that money from the customer. Meaning, you know, if I make $10,000 from a customer, I can take a couple hundred dollar hit on that customer because I've technically already made that money. So I have no problem doing that. But would I take a hit on a first time customer? No. If they give me a load and say, hey, you know, I need this load picked up and I go and I have a carrier done or I misquote it and it's a first time customer and I say, oh, I could do it for $1,200 and then I can't find a driver for less than $18, I'm going to give that load back. I'm not doing it unless I think that there's going to be a big potential for other loads. But yeah, I once a month, twice a month, I take a hit because you have to. That's a, you know, being a business owner. Now, would you take I don't know how that would work if you're an owner op. Would you take a load for less than your expenses? The only way you would do that is if you were in a dire place where you needed to get either cash to, you know, make a payment or something like that, or you were just like stuck in Florida and there's nothing coming out, or you found a, you know, a partial load or something. So I guess I'm assuming that you mean brokerage, but yeah, that's the only way you would take a loss as an owner operator is if one, you need the money, so you're going to be at a further loss if you don't run, or two, you're just in a shitty area and you need to reposition. Oh, did I mute myself? Nope. But yeah, so that's that. So yeah, I've lost my ass several times almost, once or twice a month, sometimes more. Just depends, you know. Come October, November, December, I'm going to be busy as shit. So, and not with this customer, because at this point, this customer is seasonal, so they're super busy now. But by the end of next month, it's going to be slow as shit. They'll probably have 15 loads a day instead of right now. They got like 50. Right. So you were the one I talked to, I think. Yeah. But like I think if you're the one that I talked to about these four loads that went into Mexico, just like I said, I wouldn't have eaten that loss so much. I would have charged the carrier that was delivering 4 days late to offset the detention for the three guys that had to wait 4 days for him. So I'll give a little backstory for anyone that if this is the same one that didn't know. So there was a driver, they had four loads that all picked up on Friday. They were all supposed to be in Laredo or someplace in Texas, going to cross the border into Mexico. They were all supposed to arrive Monday morning. Well, the fourth truck ended up having to do a reset of clock. So he lost, he should have lost 34 hours, but he lost a lot more because he didn't arrive on Monday. He didn't arrive on Tuesday. He didn't arrive on Wednesday. He arrived Thursday afternoon. Or Friday afternoon, one or the other. I don't remember which day. Okay, it is the same one. So the carriers wanted $500 a day for truckload to not use, which is completely 100% understandable. Molly, was it you that I talked to about this, or was it someone in your office? But at any rate, they wanted $500 a day to sit. And then the last guy was asking for a layover too, because they were going to have to drop their trailers, have their trailers brought into Mexico and wait for them to come back. Now that's part of the load. So I wouldn't have been, like, originally, unless you agreed, I'm guessing that was in the rate that you weren't going to pay truck or not use for the trailers being dragged, or layover for the trailers being dragged into Mexico. Cause I'm guessing that was part of the load. Okay. So it was you. Hi. But you had $50, you have drivers that are asking for, $500 for sitting for the 3 days. So just like, and I'm hoping you did what I suggested, is I said, okay, so each driver is asking for $500. Take, you know, you have to pay them, or pay them something as much as you can, while taking a little bit hit, at least eat your profit so you don't go in the red. And then shortchange the last driver, the one who was 3 days late for a delivery appointment, shortchange him and charge him to the other guys. From what you guys said, the driver was, he knew he effed up. That's what I would have done, because it was supposed to be an oversized load. It was still oversized, but not really. So he gouged you on the price. I would have charged him the 150 or the $500 per day, or ate the difference. So say, I'll pay you guys 250 per day. I'm taking 250 from this last driver and paying you to make it $500 per day. That's probably what I would have done, because you're going to eat the loss anyway. But as I told you that day, you probably shouldn't make any money on the load. You know, and from what it sounds like is you're losing. Paid customs and detention. Yeah. Not detention, layover. But yeah, that's what I would have done, is shortchange the last driver, because he's the one that screwed all the other three drivers up. Now, $500 a day for having to miss almost the entire work week. That sucks. And is it enough? No. And those drivers should be pissed, as you said they were. But yeah, I don't know if I've ever taken a loss quite that large. You know, it's just, it all depends on how you do it. I've taken losses on loads all the time though. If I book a load and I know I'm going to, you know, and I really want the business, I'll take a loss on it. You know, I've also screwed up as a carrier and gone to a place and said, you know, or it works. It's not really the same, but if you go to a place and it's supposed to be a 16-foot partial and you get there and it's 32 feet, you call the customer and you try to get more money. But I've also had where it's 32 feet and I get there and it's only 16 foot, and then I'm faced with the dilemma I'm not going to call the customer and say, hey, it's going to take up less space, but I'm going to try to put something else on it and maximize the profitability of the truck. So I guess it's not really the same. I guess you can't really lose your ass as an owner op unless some shit breaks down or you misquote or you get brokers who are just paying shit because they know that there's no other loads. But yeah, it's so I guess it's a little different, but brokers do it all the time. It's the nature in the business. I mean, look at Uber. Or you know who's the best one? Look at Amazon right now. Amazon's moving everything at cost, and they don't even have capacity anymore up north. You know, they don't even have capacity to move all the stuff, you know, because they're literally moving at cost. Now that all their drivers are starting to complain, and that's what they're booking. You know, and a lot of the New Jersey-based customers all jumped on the Amazon bandwagon when they launched their freight brokerage. But they don't have the capacity rates they have. Okay, look at this one. Brokers lie all the time. All right. So, and so do carriers whose names I can't pronounce. I mean, that's such a stupid statement. Do brokers lie? Yeah. Do drivers lie? Yeah. I mean, it happens. This broker doesn't lie. That's why I'm making these videos. That's why I'm talking for an hour and 15 minutes about bullshit. Because I want to prove to everyone that not all brokers are shady. But drivers lie all the time. You know how many times a week a driver says, hey, I'm late because the truck broke down. No, you're late because you took a different load. Or, oh, I'm stuck at my last delivery. They're not going to offload me until, you know, tomorrow. So I got to fall off this load. You're not falling. You're not even at your next delivery. I could tell that you're driving as you're telling me that. And that shit happens all the time. Brokers lie. Carriers lie. Drivers lie. Presidents lie. Politicians lie. Everybody lies. It's the nature of the business. Everyone's going to do it. You just have to figure out, find the brokers that you work with. I've got a list, an arm, you know, my whole arm long of brokers that are of carriers that I'm not going to work with. And when I was a carrier and a dispatcher, I had a longer list of brokers that I wouldn't work with. And not necessarily because they're telling me, oh, I only got $500 in it. It's because you know who's good and you know who's honorable to talk to and you know who's not, you know. I really was hoping you were going to say something else instead of just brokers lie all the time. Cause that's kind of a stupid statement. You know, it's just a stupid statement, but at any rate, I don't know what else to talk about now. If anyone else has any questions, you know, the biggest thing, my suggestion to everyone is if you're a broker or looking to become a broker, I already told you how to, you know, for trainings and shit like that. But if you're, just be honest. Try to be honest with people, because even if I have, like, when people call on my rates, they suck. You know, they half the time they suck and the rates are posted and I say, up, and the rate is firm. And that's how I end the speech all the time. And the rate's posted on almost all my loads, especially the shitty rate ones. I always have the rates posted and I say the rate's firm. And I've had customers that are carriers be like, oh, this rate's not firm. There's no way you can't pay that. And I said, the customer's paying that. And that's it. I've given a couple of them the name to my customers because I know they're small brokers and my customer posts their own shit anyway. You know, they have, you know, a brokerage authority, even though it's their product they're shipping. But they post that shit too. And I've had customers call and they work with us just because, you know, our credit is better than my customer. You know, brokers lie, carriers lie, shippers lie, everybody lies. You know, you just have to figure out the way to make those lies work in your benefit, you know, and I make other people's lies work in your benefit. Don't you start lying to, you know, counteract the lies of everybody else. Cause I know it happens all the time. Brokers will say, yeah, they deliver 8 to 4, no appointment necessary. And you get there and you got an appointment set for 3 days. And then they say, oh, well, you know, we didn't know. Yeah. We'll send you a Raycon. We'll send you a Raycon with layover. We'll do it. We're going to send it. I just stepped out. We're going to do it. We're going to send it. And you never get it. That happens all the time. So here's the point. Don't pay for freight broker school. If anyone says they're going to teach you in 3 days how to be a broker, they're a scam artist. Do not pay for freight broker school. Anyone wants to teach you how to be a dispatcher and says they can do it in a morning and then do live calls in the afternoon. It's not true. It still takes a little bit longer than that. Not much. Because being a dispatcher is super easy. If you're a carrier looking for a dispatcher and a dispatcher says, oh, my trucks average $7,000 to $10,000, they are a scam artist. Don't do it. What else? I mean, that's it. That's how I'm going to end the video. There's a bunch of don't do's in this and a bunch of do's and all that stuff. And, you know, I don't know. I'll save them for another day. All right, guys, like this video, like this page, share the video, do whatever you want. All right. Oh, and remember, go to, I think my dog's going to stop, so I got to end this conversation quick. FreightBrokerLive.com. So we're going to, I'm going to do news as much as I can. I'll try to comment on it. Otherwise, it's just going to be a copy and paste and a source listed for a lot of the news, just breaking news. All the opinion blogs, I'm going to do one a day at least. As I said, I'm going to create a resources tab and I'm going to start doing some services and shit like that. I'll probably have a store up there. Eventually where you could buy shirts and shit, that'll go directly to me in my pocket. So once that's up there and you see it, coffee cups, you know, trucker hats, you know, the big flat brim ones, all that fun stuff. I'm going to try to get all that stuff in there. And that'll just help me pay for all the shit, that's involved with making these videos. But yeah, other than that, everything's free. I don't charge. There's no member area in my website. You're not going to have to pay for a single thing. My Facebook page, same way. YouTube's the same way. I'm not going to do any of those like, hey, I make these videos, but if you pay an extra $50, I'll have hidden videos that you could pay. I'm not going to do any of that shit. That's all scams to me. I'm going to do free videos, free conversations. Eventually, when it starts making a shit ton of money and I'm rich and famous, yeah, maybe I'll charge to come see me speak in person. Other than that, if you come bump into me on the road or, you know, somewhere, if you see me at GATS or you see me at, I'm not going to GATS anymore. You see me at the Mid-America Truck Show or any other trucking convention, feel free to come up and say hi. Just don't get all loud because I'm a big ass dude. All right. See you later. Bye.